This is Dolio, an original thriller fiction podcast presented in serialized format, a chapter at a time, written by Jared Canton, narrated by Joshua Canton, a Steady Chaos production. Previously on Dolio. A huge hand closed down on my head, open, thirsting to subdue movement. I scooted backwards, tipping to all fours, but it was too late. He clasped tightly under the curvature of my jaw and squeezed. I felt an immense pressure, twisted my head away from his grip, but I couldn't escape. Then, my consciousness flickered, replaced with a ringing in my ears and repeated intermittent pressure against my face, and the world went dark. I heard effort and grunts and impacts, felt jarring mass connect with my body. Darkness. Awoke to pavement, unsure of how long I'd lost consciousness, maybe just seconds. Saw the large man, regain my bearings, saw shocked faces in the crowd, hands at mouths, stressed and panicked eyes. Felt his hand at my face again, gripping tightly, twisting, holding my dangling carcass out like a conquered prize.
Your fake hero.
I dropped a series of feeble, panic-ridden elbows to his wrist, but his hand held firm until I was airborne. At first inches, then he swung me hard, but he didn't let go. The fabric of my face mask tore free at the breathing holes, and I flew 8 feet in radius across the circle. I landed with cries of terror from the crowd. Then I felt arms, hands, people lifting me back to my feet with words of concern.
Are you okay, man? Can you hear me?
Voices from somewhere, maybe near, possibly not. I staggered forward and fell to a knee, pawed at my now exposed lower face, saw blood on my glove. Enough! Someone said. And then, the shape of a small woman filled the space between my crumpled remains and that of the victor. He turned to face her, took a hard stride, and I steadied on weakened legs, slid her clear of his attack, and I felt it. And it swallowed me whole, poured me into a vat of confidence and swagger. A gentle biting sensation twisted my neck into a sounding board of tactile activity. I felt the warning again, now the third time in my life, only this time I knew exactly what to do, and what it was. I somersaulted forward, away from the anticipated attack, rotated back from a position of safety, and saw the large man deliver a huge front kick to a vacant, empty location. In his paw, a 12 by 6 inch span of fabric hung, the lower half of my mask. I patted at my face again, and my goggles were still intact, the upper portion of my mask still intact, but the lower neck and jaw area he had torn clear. My skin, my hyperesthesia, and heightened titillation, they'd been the reason all along. It was how I had sensed motion and interruption in the air, and why being covered head to toe had prevented me from sensing Jermaine's knife attack. It was real. I could sense, no, actually feel approaching mass. And what better time to test that hypothesis than with this mass of a man before me? Episode 21. Cat and Mouse. My head bobbed as a strand of spittle sagged from my lower lip before pooling near my keyboard. I caught my skull mid-descent, forced it back up, ran my hands over my face. My brain felt cloudy, almost gummed up, my processing a tick slower, possibly the result of a concussion for which I couldn't feel the other symptoms. Ugh. I hummed an exhausted groan as I exhaled, stood, refilled my coffee mug, and sat back down. My body's way of telling me I had overextended was fatigue. CIPA empowered my body to drive through limitations via the benefit of malfunctioning pain communication signals. But even absent pain, damage still occurred, and my body needed energy to repair just like anybody else's. It was becoming clear that twilighting as Dolio would have negative repercussions on my day job. Those repercussions immediately grew more imminent with 3 assertive knocks on my door. The phone on my desk beeped. I hit speaker. Detective Ross to see you, Mr. Daniels? Thank you, Doreen. I managed through a tightly clenched jaw. I killed the call. Please, come in, I bellowed toward the door. Didn't stand. Ross quickly let himself in. Found a chair, leaned back, crossed his legs, didn't say a word. Pulled out his notepad, flipped through a series of pages. Pages that I couldn't possibly predict the contents of. Pages I hoped were a mere bluff. I prayed he didn't have enough information to fill them. Thanks for redecorating my condo. Had been meaning to get around to that. His warranted foray into my space had taken hours to clean up. I asked him to be gentle. I do what I can. But I have to be honest, been a big couple of days, Ryder. Big days, he said aloud, almost to himself. He didn't look at me, just spoke. But first, I have some bad news for you, friend. I had expected as much. Didn't think he was here to give me a medal for best new vigilante in a screenplay. Your friend James, he's in a better place now. I hoped he meant recovery, or home, but his tone suggested something altogether different. Meaning? He passed last night, never made it out of the coma, brain bleed or something. I blew out a solemn breath. A good man, valuable ally, and witness, an important cog in my story, had died. His family, friends of mine, left to fend for themselves. I see, I said regretfully. Do you really? He asked, his words lathered thick with accusation. I said nothing, just looked at the man through a pained expression, the origins of which I could feel in my chest. Do you really see the implications of this? He paused, but then spoke over me as I tried to reply. Do you see that we went from a story that could be corroborated at least in part, where you witnessed a stabbing and chased an assailant to his death, now to a story where you could actually be the assailant, chasing a witness to his death? Listen, I was tiring of this act, even though I had little justification to gripe. I knew the detectives almost exclusively relied on admissions and errors by defendants to solve cases. I hadn't made any major errors, thanks to Dad, and I wouldn't. But that didn't mean I shouldn't expect his best efforts to coax me into a contradictory declaration. You just told me my friend is dead. I've told you, time and again, I had nothing to do with his stabbing. And what about our frequent flyer? Frequent flyer? I said in amazement at his lack of basic decency in discussing the dead. If you really thought the man who fell was just a victim of circumstance, would you still refer to his death so crassly? Possibly, he dismissed. You're a piece of work. We're not talking about me, Ryder. Well, if you're talking about James's killer, we're not friggin' talking about me either. So you've said. Why the hell would I hurt James? Well, I've seen a man kill his own son for nothing. Another encourage his girlfriend to commit suicide. Just because. Crime doesn't always make sense. Good guys do bad things. Bad guys do bad things. Mistakes are made indiscriminately. And sometimes the best people pay. Sometimes the bad ones do. I said nothing. Point is, murder doesn't have to make sense to happen. He spoke to me like a child, like I hadn't spoken to the families of murder victims or studied and lived the criminal element for years. Do you even realize where you are? I asked. I waved an angry arm around the room, flipped the name placard on my desk towards him. It said Ryder Daniels, Esquire. I live this shit, whether I like it or not. Stop speaking to me like I'm a common criminal. Do you think you're smarter than me? Than everyone? Is that it? Ross asked. That's not it at all. I had nothing to do with James's death. I feel awful for his family. He was a good man. I'll miss him. You consistently, fervently deny a role in James's death. Well, you seem fairly thick on the subject. But you don't nearly as adamantly deny a role in the other death. I froze for a moment. He was right. I had been so insistent about James, I'd almost neglected the death I actually did have a hand in. Luckily for me, mere absence of objection wasn't damning under American law. But the longer I waited to reply, the more likely it was to grow suspicious. Not certain whether I had paused for a second, or four, I regained my verbal footing. We've been over that. We've been over all of this, I said. It was a feeble, time-passer of a statement. No meat, no force. Just a hollow transition. Ah, right, the mysterious Ivy League-educated vigilante, he scoffed. I exhaled. It did no good to comment on anything but direct questions. Keeping a lie straight is easier the less you talk. lies are in the details, and unfortunately, details can be lost rather easily. This look familiar? He pulled a plastic bag out of his pocket, slid it atop my desk. The contents did, in fact, ring a bell. The balancing scales of the Justice Tarot card stared back at me through a crimson-smeared plastic bag. Looks like a tarot card. It was not the groundbreaking response I'm sure he was hoping for. It is. Do you know what it means? I shrugged. It was the very same card I had tucked into Germaine's pocket. It was Doliel's calling card. It was what I had hoped Ross would find and bring here to corroborate Doliel's existence. Come on, a bright legal scholar like yourself. The scale means the balance of justice, or justice. Good, he smiled. That hold any special meaning to you? It's essentially what the vigilante shouted to me in the parking garage. Quite a coincidence. It was a playful, almost comedic jab. Ross was a puzzle. At times he seemed determined to take me in, and at others he almost reveled in our conversations, as if he'd found a legitimate adversary or a worthy chase. But truthfully, it made sense. Cases like this make careers. Cases with high-profile suspects, juicy storylines, heroes, villains, and intrigue. I didn't know if he approached every case like this, or if I was his Mona Lisa, but I couldn't see him engaging a common felon with such patience and gamesmanship. You find it coincidental that this vigilante's calling card is symbolic of the very same word he yelled at me? I do. Where'd you get it? I asked, flipping the card back to his side of my desk. You don't know? I shook my head. May I? He leaned forward, angled his smartphone screen in my direction. I leaned in. The small screen flickered to life. Unsteadily, the video's target wandered to the dark ground, then up, and around in a wide sweeping scope of the surroundings. Humans, some donning comic-related apparel, others in actual costumes, came into focus with terror-filled eyes. Some screamed in horror as cell phone screens illuminated a small circle of humans. Ross dragged his finger along a thin red line at the bottom of the video, centering a red dot within the line. My favorite part, he said. I saw a man, bloodied on the ground, dressed like Doliel. He looked dazed, confused, on his knees. He leaned back unsurely, placed his, no my, hands to his goggles, and lifted. Saw myself swipe a gloved hand under the goggles' lens, wipe blood from my nose and mouth, then replace the mask. I remembered the ringing in my head, my battle to regain consciousness vaguely, then the encouragement of kind strangers. Ross paused the video and pulled the bar back a few notches, sending the video reeling in reverse. He paused it with maximum Doliel facial exposure, stretched his fingers to expand the image. That guy look familiar to you? I shook my head slowly, lying. There was a vague resemblance. Not nearly enough to get there on the image alone, but certainly enough to corroborate if you'd already made up your mind. Hmm, he moaned ominously. Swiped again, and the video shifted to another, that of a newscast.
Gang violence broke out in these dangerous city streets last night around 3 a.m. Three members of a gang that call themselves the Blood Struggles were killed. Officers arrived on the scene to find one dead, fallen from the very rooftop behind me. An officer was also shot and wounded. He is, thankfully, in stable condition. I spoke with a second officer this morning. He experienced minor injuries, and he shed some light on the real story of what happened here last night. The officer, who wished to remain unnamed, as well as several other unnamed witnesses, confirmed the presence of a masked vigilante at the scene. The vigilante, who is rumored to call himself Doliel, is not only suspected in the killings of the three gang members last night, but also in the assault of an officer, as well as another fatal encounter earlier this month. Here is a sketch of the vigilante. If you see him, call your local police department. He is presumed armed and very dangerous.
He deadened the image with a button press and set the phone back down. Do you believe me now? The smugness I had reserved for this moment oozed from my pores. I believe that there is in fact a vigilante. Good, I said. Just know I won't rest until I find out who he is. Serve and protect, detective. His face reddened slightly as he stood. He leaned aggressively across my desk. The phone rang loudly. Startled, I quivered and he retreated a few steps. Excuse me, I murmured. I picked up the receiver. Ryder Daniels speaking.
I wanted to apologize for the other night.
Kinsley's voice was noticeably, intentionally delicate. I should be the one apologizing. I looked across the desk. Ross pretended to meander harmlessly around the office, to not pay me any mind. He looked at photos of Dad and magazines, but I knew he was focused on my every word. No, I really shouldn't have reacted like that. Can I call you right back? I asked. This conversation had dangerous possibilities that I didn't want Ross present for. I have a better idea. How about you come down here for a quick follow-up, and then we can grab lunch? Around noon? Sounds great. A smile unwittingly invaded my face, and I turned to shield it from Ross. I'll see you then, I said, before setting the phone receiver back to rest. Important call? He asked. Very. Well, if you could, keep your eyes and ears open. This Dolio character is going to step in it, and when he does, I'll sniff him out. I'll feel a lot safer when you do, he scoffed, exhaled doubtfully. I bet you will. He paused, and then continued. I think this character might have good intentions. In fact, I trust he does. I just hope he comes back to reality before someone else is killed. Maybe this time a cop, or civilian. I've lived this life for a long time, seen impossible scenarios unfold in uncontrollable ways. Actions, even well-intentioned, have consequences, Ryder. I'd hate for this crusade to end in tragedy. He stepped closer, extended a hand. Ah, bring it in here, pal, he said, and with a wide sweeping swing, he slapped me hard on the shoulder. The same shoulder that had housed a blade just days earlier. I didn't flinch, held his eyes. He expected a reaction. He didn't get one. Your nose okay? It looks a little puffy. You should probably get that checked out, he said as he left. The door slammed shut behind him. Fuck.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed Dolio, please come back for future episodes arriving at regular intervals, and subscribe and rate us on your favorite podcast application.